The last time I heard our preacher for tonight preaching, he was preaching in Afrikaans, and I understood a very small portion of what he had to say. So now we welcome to our English service, Reverend Van Ryn.
It's a pleasure for me to be with you tonight. As most of you can probably hear, English isn't my first language. And my brother and sister from the Afrikaans congregation can attest to it. When I preach, I tend to get a bit excited. But English will keep me from it tonight. So if I mix up some tenses here and there, I know you'll forgive me for it. Tonight we're going to listen to the Lord's word from Acts 9. Acts 9, we're going to read until verse, let's read to verse 22. Acts 9, verse 1 to 22, and I'll read for us from the ESV. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he went on his way, approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him, so that he may regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem, and yea, he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go. For he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, He is the Son of God. And all who heard him were amazed and said, Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength, and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. I'm going to read for us the first two verses again. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Any belonging to the way. Most of us had to drive to be here tonight. And we were on the road and we were on the way with a goal. We wanted to be at the service and we wanted to be on time. We know when we usually start, and we usually plan our things around that. Also, during the week, when we go to work, or when we have an appointment, or going to school, anywhere we are going, we know we have to drive on a certain time to be on time. And during winter, when it's a bit colder, most of us tend to push that time a bit further along. Until we get to that time when we say, when I leave now and there's nothing in my way, I will be on time. But as you know, when we are on the road, everything doesn't always go as planned. A lot of times there's something in the way. Maybe a bus that has broken down, maybe an accident, maybe an inconsiderate driver, and then a traffic comes to a standstill. It's a traffic jam and it makes us late, and I don't know about you, it usually makes me mad as well. So if there is anything in your way when you want to be somewhere, it stops you. If there is anything in the way, it stops you from being on time. If there isn't anything and everything goes as planned, you'll get where you want to be when you want to be there. And it is not only with traffic that it is in this way. Because the Lord calls His church to be people of the way. That's what we've read in Acts 9. People of the way, meaning He calls us to follow Him. We should be people of the way, and that is the focus of tonight's sermon. There's one question: am I on the way, or am I in the way? In Acts 9, the followers of Jesus are called people belonging to the way, people of the way. Even before the followers has been called Christians, they were known by this name, people of the way. Now, when God talks about the way in the Bible, it usually refers to a certain way of living. You can hear it in a way of living. It has a very specific meaning. And furthermore, our Lord Jesus is known as the way. From the Gospel of John, we know He's the only way to the Father. The only way we can follow Him when we are on this way, we know we are on the way to eternal life. He's the way. He's the road. It's the only way to the Father. When you want a relationship, if you want a relationship with God, you need to follow Jesus Christ. Believe in Him. But it means more still, especially in Acts, because we see in the whole book of Acts that the Lord is on the way. He is busy working in the world and He's on the way with His church. He calls His church to follow Him where He is going, to proclaim the kingdom, to tell to everybody, Jesus Christ is the Lord and the King. He's the one that gives life. He's the one that protects those who follow Him. At the start of Acts, He gives His apostles the calling to be His witnesses in Judea and Samaria and to the end of earth. And in this manner, He calls His whole church, be His witnesses throughout the whole world. Proclaim the kingdom everywhere you go. And if we follow the line that's going through the book of Acts, we see that the church is actually busy doing that. Starting at Jerusalem, going through Judea, going through Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. Acts ends where Paul is in Rome, known those days as the ends of the earth. So to be people of the way means to believe in Jesus Christ, to trust Him, and to follow Him where He is leading us to proclaim the kingdom. To be people of the way, we should be moving. If you're not moving, we are not people of the way. Like any body that doesn't move loses power and becomes weak and sick, we as the body of Christ lose power if you're not moving, if you aren't on the way and proclaiming His kingdom. So even before believers were known as Christians, we are known as people of the way. People following the Lord Jesus Christ where He is busy working. People trusting the Lord and proclaiming His kingdom. And it is this Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, that takes people who are in the way and puts them on the way. As we can see in Acts, the early followers of our Lord were persecuted severely. The Jews wanted to stop them. They stood in their way. They wanted to destroy the way. And we shouldn't be surprised if we see similar things happening today as well. Now, Paul was one of these people persecuting the believers. He was fanatic about it. He followed him with everything he had in him. He He wanted to stop the way. He wanted to destroy the way. In Acts 9, he's called Saul. Now, his name, between him naming his name as Saul and Paul, has nothing to do with his conversion. It is only a matter of the language. Saul is the Hebrew version and Paul is the Greek version. So it depends on where he was at that moment, what he was called. Was he in a Hebrew territory or was he in a Greek one? So yes, Saul, totally consumed by his persecution of the followers of Jesus. He put them in jail, and if they were killed, he didn't have a problem with it. He was fanatic about it. Completely in the way of the Lord. He wanted to stop the way, destroy the way. And then the Lord shows, as he has done so many times we see in the Bible and so many times we see in our own lives, the Lord shows, I am in control. The Lord shows his grace to Paul. He takes Paul out of the way. He puts him on the way. He leads him to repentance. He forgives his sins and he starts to use him as an instrument to proclaim the kingdom. Now, Paul didn't deserve this. No way. He deserved that the Lord do with him that a lot of people want to do with the evil gangries. He deserved to be totally and completely destroyed. He deserved to be destroyed. But the Lord showed his grace and his love to Paul. He took him out of the way and put him on the way. He made him a follower of Jesus Christ. Somebody with an everlasting relationship with God. Somebody who moves to proclaim the kingdom. And then he told him to go to Damascus and wait there. And he will be told what to do. For 3 days. Picture this. For 3 days he couldn't see. And he didn't eat. Didn't drink anything. And he was busy praying, busy with the Lord, but where are things going now? And then the Lord talked to Ananias. Now Ananias was already a follower of Jesus Christ. Already he was a disciple of Jesus. So Ananias was on the way already. And the Lord sent him to Paul. Ananias was on the way, but we see here he stood in the way a bit. Lord, I've heard of this Paul guy. He's a fanatic. He hunts Christians. You're sending me to him. My life will be in danger. He's got permission to put people in jail. This is completely out of my comfort zone. If I go to him, my life will be in danger. If I go to him, I won't be safe. I'm going to expose myself to a lot of danger. So Ananias was on the way, but yet he stands in the way because he believed in the Lord, but he was afraid to do what the Lord said him to do. But also to him, our Lord showed his grace. He reminded him, but I am the Lord. I am in control. I am going to use this Paul as an instrument to proclaim my kingdom. I am going to use him. This is part of my plan. And in this way he comforts and strengthens Ananias through his spirit, and then he went to see Paul. Amazing to hear his first words that he said to Paul. Saul, brother. Not Saul, enemy, Saul, stranger, Saul, I don't want anything to do with you, but Saul, brother. And imagine how Paul needed to hear this at that time. Those 3 days while he was busy thinking and praying, it must have went through his head, but where to next? He must have realized, but I'm between a rock and a hard place at the moment, because on the one hand, if the Jews find out I have been converted, I'm not going to be welcome there anymore. And we see it a bit further, they try to kill him. And on the other hand, these Christians that I have persecuted, I've personally put in jail, will they accept me? Will they want to have anything to do with me? And then the first words he hears from Ananias is, Saul, brother. And that is how amazing and big the Lord's grace is. Because not only does He give a relationship with Him, not only does He put you on the way following Jesus Christ, He gives you a relationship with everybody else that follows Him as well. This whole piece of Scripture screams at us about how big the Lord's grace is. Because He takes people out of the way that was in the way, puts them on His way. He took Saul, who was completely in the way, wanted to destroy the way, and He made him a follower, a person of the way, somebody that belongs to the way. And He also took Ananias, somebody that was on the way already, and He comforted him and He strengthened him and He kept him on His way. So this is what the Lord does in people's lives. He takes us out of the way and He puts us on His way. Now Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the way to God. When you follow Him, you have an eternal relationship with God. When you believe in Him, you can know for certain all my sins are forgiven. You can be certain that He leads you and holds you and guides you and strengthens you through His Spirit to stay on the way. And the Lord is busy. He is on the way. He's busy in the world. He's busy establishing His kingdom. And He uses His followers, His church, the people who are on His way, to do it. Therefore, each one of us should ask ourselves, but am I on the way? Am I completely on the way? Do I believe in Jesus as my Savior and my King? Do I believe in Him as the way, the truth, and the life? Or am I like Paul was, standing in the way completely? And then tonight, the message for you is, don't kick against the relationship with the Lord. It's the best thing that can happen to you. Also ask yourself, am I on the way but standing in the way a bit? Am I a bit like Ananias was, too afraid to follow the Lord where He is leading me? To follow Him where He is busy working in the world? Then the Lord shows His grace to you as well. Gives you the strength through His Spirit to stay on the way. Even when it is dangerous. Even when we will be persecuted. Even when it is out of your comfort zone. Even when your life is in danger. The Lord simply says, I'm in control. I am enough for you. We are people of the way, called to follow our Lord wherever He leads us, to proclaim His kingdom, to show His love as well. It doesn't help us to proclaim we have a loving, gracious God, but we're not showing that love to people around us as well. We are known and should be known as people of the way. Not people of the pew or people of the couch maybe. A lot of times we think that is who we are. We are people of the couch and we need to sit back and stay comfortable and safe until our Lord comes again. Don't need to do anything around us, just keep ourselves safe and comfortable and wait for the Lord to come. A lot of times we don't want to move, don't want to go there where the Lord is already busy working. A lot of times we are focused on things that makes us comfortable, things that makes life easy for ourselves, makes church comfortable for us. We are more concerned about that a lot of times than concerned about people that hasn't heard about the way, that hasn't heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, that hasn't experienced this love and guidance that only He gives us through His Spirit. There's a lot of times we would rather sit back and be served and complain if it doesn't happen than stand up and get on our way, be on the way and serve others. We are people of the way. We are called to reach the world. Yes, it is out of our comfort zones. Yes, it would maybe cost us something, it would cost some of us a lot. Yes, it will maybe ask of us to do something in a different way. Will put us in uncomfortable and dangerous situations. Yes, people will ridicule us. People will persecute us. People won't Some people won't want anything to do with us, but we are people of the way. Therefore, we have comfort. We know when we are where the Lord is busy working, He will protect us. He will give us strength and He will keep us safe. And even if I have to die when I'm busy on the way, I have the comfort of eternal life. Like Ananias, we should learn that the church isn't the end of everything. The church isn't the end goal. We shouldn't see it that way. We shouldn't focus our lives in making everything as easy and as comfortable as possible for ourselves, because the church is the instrument our Lord uses to establish His kingdom in the world. A church that doesn't move, a congregation that isn't on the way and focusing on following our Lord and proclaiming His kingdom, isn't a true church. Because the name church says it all. Church means we are called by God. Called for what? Called to follow Him. The church, the body of Christ, like any healthy body, should keep on moving. Keep on following, because a congregation that isn't moving, isn't following our Lord, is unhealthy. If it doesn't start to move, it will die. Believers are called people of the way. People who follow the Lord. People who experience His grace and now follow Him wherever He leads us. To be known as a person of the way means I believe in Jesus Christ and I trust in Him as my Lord and Savior. I bow before Him as my King and I go where He leads me. As church, that is our calling. Yes, we are here to be built up and strengthened and comforted and sanctified by the Lord. But that isn't the end goal. He uses us. He uses us as His church to show His grace to the world. And we see His grace with Paul. Paul completely in the way. He takes him out of the way. Makes him a follower. He puts him on his way. We see His grace with Ananias. On the way already, but standing in the way a bit. Strengthens him and He comforts him. He reminds him, but I am in control. So Ananias can go forward. So let us, brother and sister, stay on the way. Let us get out of the way. Let us examine our own lives and see, but where am I rather standing in the Lord's way than following Him? And let us be on the way. He's going to ask us to do things differently, maybe. It's going to ask us to move out of safe structures and out of our comfort zones and out of our normal way of living and normal way of doing things. He's going to ask of us to not focus on ourselves and our own needs, but on our calling and our Lord. He's going to ask a lot of us, but we must do it. Because that is what we are called to do. We are the body of Christ. It is when we are busy following Him that we are kept safe. That is the image the Lord uses in John 10 and Psalm 23. Our Lord, the Good Shepherd, He gives us everything we need. We need to know His voice so that we can follow Him. Because we are people of the way. We know where we are going. Eternal life with our Father. But if you don't get up and move and follow and proclaim, we won't get anywhere. The Lord is gracious. He gives each one of us everything we need to follow Him. Every day, in every challenge we face, whether it is at home or at work or in relationships, God is enough. And He calls us to be people of the way. The church and our comfort shouldn't be more important than His kingdom for us. We aren't here to serve ourselves. We aren't here to isolate ourselves and wait for the Lord's second coming and then just holding on. Please come, Lord. I can't live in this world anymore. We are here to stand up, follow our Lord, and to proclaim His kingdom while we are showing His love to everybody. I'm going to leave you with this one question tonight. Are you on the way? Or are you in the way? Amen. Should I pray for us as well?
Yes.
Thank you. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak to us so clearly and directly, and that your word is full of who you are, showing us that you are gracious and loving and forgiving, and that you give life in our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we ask you to lead each one of us to follow our Lord Jesus Christ, to strengthen us and comfort us with your Spirit, to make us people of the way. Guide us each day more and more to not focus on ourselves, not focus on our own comfort, but be focused on our Lord and proclaim his kingdom. Show your love everywhere we are going. Lord, we know there's no way that we can do this on our own. We need your guidance. We need your strength for this. And we thank you that you give it to us as well. Use us as your church, as an instrument in this world, to bring your kingdom, to proclaim your kingdom, to proclaim the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to show with our lives that we have been changed, that we have been taken out of the way and put on your way. Thank you for strengthening us for this. Thank you for bringing us together tonight for this as well. And thank you for sending us out also after this to follow our Lord Jesus. Keep us on your way until he comes. We pray this in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen.